Dead or Alive, you spin me right round like a record. And not like a record, but definitely with a guitar in hand. We've got the privilege of talking to Graham Gillett, who is considered to be a new century guitar maestro. And that's just a brief introduction. But Graham, very good morning and welcome to the show this morning. And thanks for taking time to chat to us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And Graham, just looking at your career, you've played, well, you studied guitar and then you had the privilege of playing with Rodriguez, a misunderstood artist in a lot of ways, but you were the guitarist for Rodriguez in his, shall we call him, say, in his later years.
Yeah, basically I played with him for about 20 years on and off. So I did several tours in South Africa first, and then working with Rodriguez is how I got to the US as well. Mm-hmm. And then I toured with him as well, on and off there as well. And I was actually, ironically, the last person to end up touring with him just before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And everything got cancelled. So yeah, long time.
And Rodriguez was a guitarist in his own right, but as he got on in years, and I mean, he was still doing music until, well, virtually towards the end, and you kind of filled in. Now, for a guitarist to hand over the strings, so to speak, must have been quite a thing for him, and big shoes for you to fill.
Yeah, you're right, Wayne. At the end, I mean, he was still, the last gig we did, he was 78. That was 2020 in February. And he couldn't really play much. He could play only a few of his songs because he'd had a stroke. So that had really set him back a lot. So yeah, you're right. Most of it, he was just singing and I had to play for him. And I think if you're an instrumentalist and a singer, then it's very, very hard to hand that over and let someone else start and play and finish the song and you just sing, you know, that's a tough one. So, but I've played with him for such a long time that, you know, I could really feel him. So I knew exactly what he wanted and it was really just experience that counted in that sense. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough for him to let go of that in that sense. Yes.
I can imagine. And from your side, as a guitarist, like I said, you know, big shoes to fill. You know, you, as you said, with experience or the experience that you had with him, it was probably a smooth transition. But did you at any stage think, wow, you know, how would he have done it?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I mean, he had his own style of playing that pretty much no one would do. It was just his own thing. You know, he kind of taught himself. So, you know, that's what kind of made his style and sound and even his voice unique was that it was just his own thing. He wasn't trying to copy or replicate anybody. So, you know, totally unique in all sense of the word. So, yeah, but like I said, it's really just the fact that I've played with him for so long. You get to know the person, you know what I mean? Musicians get to know each other really well, but it takes time and experience. And it takes really just being sensitive to the people in the band or whoever you're playing with. So that's really what it comes down to.
Then the show that you're busy with at the moment, starting in, if I'm not mistaken, in Port Elizabeth, Gqeberha this weekend and then moving to East London, with some local artists. Tell us a little bit about the tribute show that you're doing, because it sounds like it's a lot of aspects that you're bringing together in a concert.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, there's been, since he passed, there have been a couple of tribute bands I've seen in Cape Town and Durban online. So I've seen that a lot of people are doing tributes to Rodriguez, and that's excellent. You know, the more do that, the more music gets out there. It's how I started in the first place, was actually playing in a Rodriguez tribute band, and the guys decided they wanted to cover Rodriguez and do proper shows, and he came and saw one of our shows. So, you know, we were the first official South Africa Rodriguez tribute show 20 years ago. So yeah, lots of people have been doing it and all that. But what I wanted to do was something different, because there's just so much to his story that's untold and that people don't know. Everybody knows the movie, obviously, especially in South Africa. Obviously, everyone's seen that. But there's a whole part two and part three after the movie of things that happened, things that didn't happen, things that went right and went wrong. So there's so much more to the story and to the man himself. You know, what he was really like. And so I thought about it and I wasn't really planning on it, but I realized there's such a story to tell and I really want to honor him, because to me he was a friend, not just the legend, he was a friend. So I wanted to do something properly, and I wanted to do something that really gives the people an insight into, you know, the mystery, the man, the legend. Right.
Because he was rather mysterious.
Yes. Yes, he was. He did everything differently, I would say. Some would say backwards or whatever, but anything, he did it the Rodriguez way, you know? Like, he turned away certain contracts that you're like, what? He wouldn't go to the Oscars. You know, there's so many things he did, and then you realize, actually, okay, he did have a good reason for that. No one else would have done it for that reason, but he decided that he would do it. The one thing is actually, Wayne, is that his lyrics. His lyrics are honestly the key to it because he lived his lyrics. He really did. Yeah. His lyrics were not just good sayings that rhymed. He lived by those lyrics. Yeah. You know what I mean? In every sense of the word. And I think people would be pretty amazed to hear to what extent he actually stayed true to himself and his lyrics in his life, which is completely contradictory. You know, it's all anti-establishment. It's not the way the world works.
Yeah, but yeah.
He went with that. He did not change.
Well, talking about anti-establishment, I think one of the roots of Rodriguez's music in South Africa, of course, was in the army camps. And as contradictory as that might seem, you know, the conscription system of the 70s and the 80s was a breeding ground for almost protest politics and protest music. And I can think of many South African soldiers who were there pretty much against their will, listening to Rodriguez very quietly, because he kind of said, you know, he was, as you say, a sort of kind of anti-establishment.
Yes, and there were a lot of similarities between what was happening in the U.S., especially in Detroit, politically at the time, which is what he was really writing about. And I even found out that there was the same kind of thing where there were a lot of young people in those years who were trying to avoid the conscription. They didn't want to go to war. And we're talking about, you know, Desert Storm and things like that. So he was writing about a lot of those kind of things coming up, even Vietnam. He nearly went to the army, by the way. Rodriguez nearly joined up, but chose not to. But, you know, so there's a whole backstory that is actually very, very similar to what was happening politically in South Africa as well.
Yes, yes. So, you know, while I said earlier that, you know, there was a lot of mystery around it, I'm guessing that from what you've kind of explained, if one had to listen to the music and really analyze his lyrics, you'll find, wait a minute, there's not really any mystery because he's putting it out quite clearly.
Yes, but you don't expect someone to do that.
Yes,
so
yes.
Take his lyrics, you know, the mayor hides a crime rate, councilwoman hesitates, public gets irate, but forget the vote date. It's like, bang, four lines. And he summed up politics.
Right.
You know what I mean? In one verse.
In one verse, and exactly.
Across the world. You take another line from, like, Dennis, where he's like, you measure your wealth by the things you can hold. He honestly had so much money come through his bank account, and he gave it all away. People cannot believe that he genuinely did that. You mean he didn't keep some of it? He didn't have some backup plan? He didn't have some retirement? Nope. He gave it away. You know, so there's so much that you just don't expect anybody do.
Yeah.
And you really live by that stuff, you know what
right.
I mean?
And, you know, living, as you say, living by the lyrics of his own songs. And possibly that's also why there've been so many tributes over the years. While he was still around and after his passing, and then, you know, the amount of effort that, for instance, you and the band are going into now to provide this tribute show, because it's not only going to be about music, there's going to be video and other aspects to the show.
Yes, correct. So, I mean, we'll play the songs, but it's also going to be about storytelling, things that happen on tour that you can't believe actually happened, you know what I mean, but they did. The truth about Rodriguez is often stranger than fiction. There's going to be some interviews and things from various that he's done over the years, as well as even footage from the very last tour that we did not know was going to be the last tour. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. So yeah, it's going to be more of a behind the scenes insight into what he was really like. I mean, I was really just lucky and honored, you know, privileged to be able to really play with him that much, to get to know him. I mean, he even played some of his original songs for his third album that never happened, you know? I mean, I was one that was trusted enough to hear those songs.
Yeah.
He hasn't played those to anybody except the family.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's kind of, I was in the inner circle in that sense. So you know, there's a lot to tell, and I honestly just want to do him proud and honor the legend.
Well, I'm sure you will do that. And just some last questions about the events in East London on this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, so we're doing Music Kitchen on the 2nd of February, this coming Friday, and then the Summit Lifestyle Centre in East London on the 3rd and 4th of February. And then afterwards, we'll be in George Bush Laager and Mossel Bay on 9 and 10 February, Bloemfontein 23rd of February, and then after that, we've got 5 shows at the Barnyards. We're doing Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Durban Barnyards. So the rest of the dates are all on the Barnyard website for the rest of the country.
Wow. So you've got quite a tour lined up for the country, and we wish you all the best. And tickets for the show here in East London are, I presume, available online on the online channels?
Yes, they're online. You can find it on Facebook or Music Kitchen. And musickitchen.co.za, and same thing for the summit, and also on Quicket.
Quicket.
Quit. Yeah.
Okay. Quicket. Graham, thank you very, very much for chatting to us today, and all the best with your tour, and enjoy East London when you get here.
Thank you, Wayne. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for taking time to chat to us.
Yeah. Well,
cheerio then. There we go. That's Graham Gellert. He's involved with the tribute show, as well as Kerry Hiles, our very own Kerry Hiles, and Dylan Durant here in East London. They'll be at the Music Kitchen in PE, and then at the Summit Lifestyle Centre on Saturday and Sunday. And sounds good. If you want some good, solid music, then that's the place to be. And thanks very much to Graham for chatting to us this morning.